Welcome to the Round 22 Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm Marcus, and you are here with us for the penultimate episode of the season. Can you believe it? We are already this far in, and we're joined by Bryce, who's back with us this week.
G'day all.
And we've got a special guest with us, first time debut on the show. Welcome onto the show, Josh Laylor. You're actually featured on the official Supercoach pod early in the season. So if anybody's been following podcasts heavily, they might have heard your voice already. Welcome, mate.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me, guys. Bryce reached out a couple of weeks ago and said, do you want to be on the pod? And I've been sitting silently in the background as a member and then a patron for probably the last 5 years and was absolutely petrified. So thanks for getting me on during a quiet round.
Very nice to have you on, mate. And you are also a cricketer, and Bryce is big into his Supercoach BBL, so he might have some tips for you later on. He is with the KFC bucket head from last year's prizes. When I heard the main pod, you did talk a little bit about the competition that you have with the other fellow cricketers and that you take your Supercoach quite seriously. And so when you're into BBL season, you know, you focus on the prize. So you enjoy your Supercoach during AFL season, and then you take your breath during BBL season. How long have you been playing Supercoach for, Josh?
Not going to lie, being from New South Wales, I started NRL Supercoach probably close to 10 years ago, I'd say. And then probably 2 or 3 years after that, started playing AFL Supercoach just to learn more about the game. Like, I'd never really gotten into the AFL apart from my dad and I supporting the Swans. And then realized pretty quickly that A, the sport is significantly better, and B, Supercoach is also much better. So we used to run into the issue with the NRL Supercoach where the best team was the best team. So you'd have 13 of the same 15 players or 15 of the same 17 players because the cash generation was just so that everyone could get. And then you'd see, like, we've all seen the point of difference players, right? It's nice to have 8 or 10 different in AFL. In the rugby league, it was just never like that. Ironically, well, probably appropriately, since I stopped playing NRL Supercoach, I could probably count on one hand the number of games of NRL I've watched in the last 5 years. And now I'm avidly sitting here watching 7 or 8 games of AFL a weekend. So a good decision.
Nice. And how's your season gone so far, mate?
Amazing until I read the run sheet and saw that Brayshaw was also out as well. So we'll get to it a bit later on when we talk some strategy. But it was a bit of a season from hell. I'm hanging around the 3,000 to 4,000 mark for 10 or 12 weeks. I had a bad one on the weekend with Luke Edwards as my VC and got on field last night, which I didn't realize because I was working. So that was a bit of a nightmare as well. But that sort of topped off the season that I've had. So it's going okay. I've hung on thanks to the support of the Supercoach coach group and community. Look, without them, I think I'd be somewhere in the 20,000s this year. It's been a tough year.
High standards if yes. A tough year's been mostly up in the top 5K.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, well, why don't we do a round the grounds before we get into questions? So maybe, Bryce, how's your week go this last weekend?
Yeah, so I've been hanging around the 2 to 3K mark for a few weeks. I've dropped 200 ranks with a score of 2299. Unfortunately, didn't quite make it to the 2300. I have no trades in the bank. I have injured Pendlebury permanently at M8, so looping a rookie there, but just hoping my top guns can carry me through for the next couple of weeks. So I had good scores such as Steel, Titch and McRae in the 150s. But really held back by that rookie on field, and Bolton and Daniel and Dale just really holding me back as well. So Dale 72 and Bolton 66 and Daniel's 55 was just awful this week, and had Dangers 21 in injury and Walsh injured as well. So it's a few Band-Aids there, but just hoping to stay around the 2K mark for the rest of the season.
I admire that you're still on with a chipper attitude on the show, considering that's a lot of challenges there. So nice. And our listeners won't know this, but Bryce said yes to this podcast on his birthday. So we're all on behalf of the Supercoach Coach community. Wish you happy birthday, mate. Won't embarrass you with a big song and dance about it. But
no, where would I rather be?
Love it. Love it. How was your weekend, Josh, apart from the VC? Did the rest of the team make up for it?
They would have. So I ended up with 21-24 this week, which is really disappointing. Like I said, I had VC'd McRae with 154, but was fortunate enough to get Edwards' 28. So that was only the 126 points down the drain there. Had Hearn, which is a pod that I've been super proud of all year, get injured. I didn't see the game, so I imagine he was probably tracking for an 80 or a 90, so I probably lost another 50-odd points there as well. So you throw those in, I could have had maybe early 2300s, which probably wouldn't have been the most amazing score this week, but bearing in mind I had Neil out, I had Dangers 21, I'd been looping Madden and Bianco, who both weren't named. Briggs miraculously was named down back, which gave me that cover, but was sort of chasing pretty hard this week, my tail. So to get 23.50 would have been pretty mega, but unfortunately I've ended up with the 21.24.
Trade left?
Zero. I had been speaking to Bryce offline over the last couple of weeks, and eventually I can't even remember what my last trade was. Rowan Marshall 2 weeks ago. So that's worked out. Still. Yeah. I was able to make some maneuvers with the last trade to get Bont and Marshall in. And Nelly went Dunkley and Tim Kelly. So lucky I've avoided those the last couple of weeks. So yeah, look, like I said, it's been a season of Nelly's. A lot's gone my way, but I've been running over hurdles the whole way. So how about yourself? I'm amazed. I wish I tracked your team from the get-go, Marcus, because – every week you seem to put a decent score together and tell us you've got seven trades left. I want to know where on the black market you're getting them from.
Yeah, I'm a bit conservative with the trades. I've got a few loose cannons on the pod.
I'm loose this year, at least.
I scored 23.98 for the week, which I'll take. I'm really hoping to get into the top 1,000. Actually, I should say the top 1,011, because they just announced that you're the top 1,011, thanks to the 11 secret herbs and spices from KFC, will receive KFC Supercoach socks and a key ring. And I'm all about the free merch, so bring it on. I'm at 12.27 and exactly 100 points basically off that mark. I've got 2 weeks to make up for it. And I think this week, if Callum Mills had played, I would have been trending pretty good. But he's missed three out of last four. Really, really painful for somebody who is still relatively unique for how well they were doing. But look, I can't complain with that. Stayed in and around the mark and around the hunt for that top 1,000 by the end of the season. Anyway, before we get on to some questions, let's just have a quick look at our Supercoach Coach groups. And we'll start off with the overall group. And the leader of that is still Emily's Supercoach Mama, holding on to that number one rank overall. We're all very excited to hopefully see her keep that position for the whole year. That is a picture of consistency she's spent from mid-season to the end of the season. I don't know how often that's done, to be number one mid-season and then at the end of the season after a brief drop. So well done to her. Two rounds to go. In terms of the top score in the group, that was Liam's team, LeFerry, scoring 25.95 for the round. That was a round 21 rank of 20. So big shout out to him. That was a huge score. Yeah. In terms of our Patreon group, the top scorer there was Dom's team, Hound United, with a 25.24. And in terms of the overall stakes fighting off for the cash tip, it's very, very tight still. Zach's team, Patton's General, at 157th overall with 47.855. Another 70 points below him is Travis's team, Styling and Profiling. Another 30 points off that is Daniel's More Mid-Time. And another 40 points off that is Josh's Slapnut Magoo. So very tight there, about 150 points separating the top four for our cash tip at the end of the year. And they've all been in and about for the last few weeks. So it'll be a tight finish there. Good luck to them.
Good names too.
There's a lot of time and effort I've gone into styling and profile and more mid-time.
All right, let's get into our first question for the week, and this one is from Facebook from Hanif, and he's asking about best replacement for Brayshaw. He's looking for a replacement under $599,000. So Brayshaw, I think he copped the suspension, didn't he?
It's at the tribunal as we speak, giving evidence. So fingers crossed he'll get off, and we might not need to answer this question. But
just in case we do, at $599,000, that's a fair bit of cash to be able to spend. Might put you on the spot first, Josh, if you don't mind. Who do you like in and around that price point?
Yeah, so there's two lines of thinking, which really depends what you're after. If you want to trade into where everyone else is at, Bont's probably your answer. He's pretty cheap, obviously high-quality player. Most importantly, hell of a lot of fun to watch. It is a hobby, this, so that's a nice tiebreaker. Everyone likes watching Bont play. He's on Sunday afternoon this week. But I like to try to lean a little bit different, particularly late in the year when that the risk of a pod not turning out is sort of decreased with only two rounds to go. I would go down the Darcy Parish line with a bit less of an ownership percentage and try to hope that things go his way the last couple of rounds. We've seen his upside through the middle of the year, and hopefully things go his way with Gold Coast and Collingwood. So a couple of good matchups.
Very good. I like that tip. I didn't scroll down that far to that price point. He did have a couple of, I think, tagged influence games at 49, just cycling out. That's a good one. The other one I don't mind, just scraping into that price bracket, Zach Merritt, $597K. Yep. He's probably, I guess, the safest option. Yep. Maybe a little bit less upside, Zach, but a bit of a safe one there. Anybody we missed, Bryce, that you like?
Probably one for consistency, and he's struggled a little bit lately. Therefore, his price is down to 548K, and that's Jared Lyons, probably a fairly unique pick. Not many people started him. So he's probably a safe bet to be around the mark for the next couple of games. I think Lyons have a couple of pretty easy fixtures to end. Is it like Hawthorn?
Not too
bad. So good fixtures. The other one just over is Christian Petrarca at 609. That could be another unique pick that you might be interested in. I'm surprised he's up towards the 600K mark. It's actually not a bad result because you've got the cash there that you can deploy to a reasonable option if he happens to miss. So that opens up the options compared to if you only had the 500K from him. But that big score, was it last week or the week before, has really boosted his price. So that's opened up the options a lot, I think.
The next question we have is from one of our patrons, Scott Wakefield. He's got three trades and 70K, so very luxurious position to be in, very jealous. He could upgrade Neil or Bolton or just bring in an extra premium and push Bolton to the bench. What would you pick there, Josh?
Having a look at this, I think I went down the line of picking an extra primo.
Yeah, I like that too. I think Bolton is fringe, but it's also worth trying to play a loophole with because you don't want to roll him out entirely. I mean, you're a Bolton owner, Bryce, and you warned me off him for a while out, and I did not heed that very good advice. So maybe it's you'll say different. Just cut your losses with Bolton, move on. He re-signed his contract, so he's not playing for dollars anymore, damn it.
I mean, I think that Bolton is one that might have early games in the round, so being able to loophole his score might be a play. So having three trades and 70K, he can get rid of two rookies and bring in a primo. Is that the scenario? I mean, that's luxurious. having a primo on the bench this season is pretty incredible. So, yeah, if he's able to do that, you've still got one trade in the bank and Bolton on the bench. That's the play to go for.
He's got Danger, Marshall, Bolton, Hawkins, Hall, and Zorko, and one of the few that doesn't have Zeeble. What? So he says Zeeble seems obvious, but the scoring's been just average recently. What do you reckon, Josh? Would you go Zeeble or look elsewhere?
I've got a couple options here. The first thing that I saw was it's the end of the season, right? So although a lot of us are looking for overall, we're still all keeping an eye on our head-to-head matchups, and I thought about who are the players in the top of the list there that he doesn't have who would scare the life out of me if I saw them on the opposition. The first name that stood out was Jordan Dugowie, who traditionally I've liked other people having him in their team, because I know that once in the year he's going to get 150 and the rest of the year it's sort of 80. But at the moment he's playing really, really well with a bit of a role change there. So he was one. Charlie Dixon's another, probably slightly less attractive for me. But then again, coming back to the fact that I love picking guys that I like watching, which is ironic considering I've got Shannon Hearn in my team, but Taron Thomas is an absolute star and would just love another reason to watch North Melbourne and hope that he pulls out a couple of 100-plus scores the last 2 weeks.
Taron Thomas has averaged 104 for the last five games and 113 for the last three, so he's been really good in the back end of the season and could be that unique pick in a final. But, yeah, I also like the Jordan Dugowie one. That's one that I don't really want to come up against. He's playing really well in that midfield role, and it doesn't look like he's moving out of that. He's averaging 108 the last five and 101 the last three, much to FB Donkey's disappointment being a former owner.
Dugowie, I think, slam dunk pick there. I was pretty happy to pick him over a midfielder last week. That's sort of how highly I think you got to rate him at this stage, because he basically is playing full primo with a caretaker coach who's fighting to stay on. Yeah, he'll continue to give mid time to Dugowie. Let's go to the next question from Matthew. He's asking whether or not he should be trading Bolton out for a 431K forward and then have one trade left, or if he should be double trading to bring in Marshall in instead as a true premium, but then run out of trades with one round to go. And I suppose, you know, as a starting point, considering you both have gone to zero trades, I think running 1 week with no trades seems comfortable, right? Like at this stage of the season, are you almost saying, keep your fingers crossed you don't get an injury next week and then just go for it? Because even if you do, as long as you can cover them, it's just like having a player that has a short-term injury.
I mean, it looks like that Bolton will be his bench cover, either mid-forward as well as hanging on to Marshall. Is that right? I mean, that seems like if you go down to zero trades, you still got a premium on the bench for the last round if someone happens to get injured this week. So, yeah, I'd do that with without hesitation.
What do you always say, Marcus? The value of the trade decreases throughout the year. Taking that right up into the last round, the odds of the person you're playing against having a trade over you is almost zero at that point, I would have thought. So, at the very worst, you're getting into the same position as the person you're competing against next week, and you've got Rowan Marshall. That's in my head how I help myself sleep at night. And jumping on Marshall 2 weeks ago, you know, he's gone up with 155 and 125. So it obviously looks attractive in the short term.
And I think Ryder, there's a chance that he doesn't play again for the season. So Marshall is the straight up ruck. He's averaged 110 pretty comfortably in that position. So,
yeah.
Going sideways with Bolton at a 431K forward is just, asking for trouble. I think you leave one trade up your sleeve, but you might not be better off on points for the next couple of weeks.
Might be negative.
We're hoping for a good game from Bolton the next couple of weeks, just quietly between us.
No, I'm the opposite. I want to pick him in my, I want him picked in my team next year. So I want him. I think he's an absolute superstar. So hopefully
he's fun to watch when he's up and about.
I want him in there next year.
That is one of the silver linings with getting some of this forward time late in the season. He should still stay mid forward next year. We'll see. All right, next question is from Chris Todd. He's also looking to pull the trigger on his final trade this week. 59K in bank, no injuries, going for overall rank. So the challenge is his trade-out options are Bolton at M8 or upgrade his F6, which is a rotation of Waitman, CCJ, and Briggs. Now, the real challenge is, and he puts it this way, the trade-in options are limited. What do you do when you've got a trade, you're motivated to use it, but you're not too sure that you can hit a player that's going to deliver you the returns? Do you take a punt anyway, do you think, or maybe just hold for an injury?
Depends on your appetite to go down to zero trades and ride it out. One option you could take is a loophole him, see what his score is like, and then use that 59K in bake and upgrade one of Waitman, CCJ, or Briggs. Briggs is actually scoring pretty well, so you could actually do the same with Briggs, loophole him on the bench. If either of those don't work out, you could use the 59K on top of Bolton and go shopping up in the forward line. Get a key forward, someone who's got that high ceiling that might be good for the next couple of games. Anyone that you usually fancy the key forwards, Marcus? Anyone that stands out to you? Someone with a good fixture run, maybe like a Danaher or someone like that, if you haven't already traded him out recently. Maybe a Jake Stringer.
Jake Stringer's not bad.
A low score, 69 last week, but five-round average of 95. He could be one to get in.
Actually, Tim Taranto?
That would be instead of Bolton.
You could do Bolton to Tim Taranto.
Taranto, that's cheap.
Yeah, he is.
He scored 118 on the weekend. I don't know if that's just a trap, though.
Yeah, well, there's no Kelly and there was no...
The cheap forward line guy I like is Nick Hind, I think. 425K, played halfback, his average 90 for a season.
See, I'm not sure I'd go sideways Bolton to Hind, but if you could afford to go up to Hind from Waitman, CCJ, with 59K on top of them, you might be able to get someone.
Anybody you like, Josh, that's a bit cheap, or would you even look at holding?
Holding's cheap. No, I don't play holding. Oh, look, there wasn't a heap of options that got me super excited. I think even with two trades ago, I think I'd be trying to get off Bolton at this stage. A lot of my theory in fantasy sport in general is what's going to help me sleep at night, like I mentioned earlier. And if I'm trying to back Bolton in and he goes poorly again, that's going to keep me up at night. So I'd rather be proactive. And then if I do my research to try to trade into someone else and it doesn't work out, well, at least, you know, I tried my best. So the two I came up with were Taranto, and then depending, I'm sure there would be some sort of link to the defenders. I had a look backwards potentially, and this is going to be really, really rogue, and I wouldn't suggest anyone does it, but if Hearn misses time, Alex Witherden is a name floating around there that might play, have the kick-ins. He's got 130, I think, in the first game of the year, and he will definitely be a pod, but we've seen him have a bit of a high ceiling in the past, so it could be a bit of a different one around that price.
Buddy Franklin's fun to own when he's in Supercoach finals. He's priced at about 400K. He's got a couple of good fixtures coming up, I believe. They've got North Melbourne and then Gold Coast. So potentially a couple of good games there. I'm not sure he'll quite reach 1,000 goals this season, but, yeah, he's always got goals on his mind, and he's always thinking about us super coaches in our finals and trying to put up a big score. So that could be one that could go pretty well.
We'll move to the next question, and this one's from Daniel Maserotti. He's asking for an in-depth captain's corner. So I guess just the traditional segment that we do, but especially for league matchups here, he wanted to know, are we better off copying our opponent if you have the stronger side, or if you're a weaker side going a bit of a unique option? You seem like you like rolling the dice, Josh, so I'm guessing you like a unique captain, or do you play it? So how do you tackle that?
Very good point. Risk appetite is high to the point where the biggest part about my whole play style is I do things on the run. So I very rarely trade before lockout and will like to gather as much information as possible before having to pull any triggers. So that's probably the way that I would approach this question. Is there some really good options, what looked like to be on Sunday without the draw? I don't think it's been finalized yet, but the Western Bulldogs are pretty late. Clayton Oliver and the Demons are pretty late. I'd maybe just give it the first couple of games to see what your opponent does and how your matchup goes first. And that will dictate whether you go for a Clayton Oliver or whether you go for a Bont over a McRae type or something like that. So that's probably what I would do. What about you guys?
Yeah, I like that strategy as well. If you've got on projected scores, pretty even matchup, and you want to assess where you're at and see what your opponent might do, waiting for your VC to be later in the round, and you might even be able to match their captain with your vice captain. Yep. And then if that player goes well and on track to win, you can kind of keep it as a match score. Otherwise, you can go for that captaincy option to potentially get you over the line. And if that captain fails, you're kind of in a pole position to improve that low score that your opponent had the captain on. And then, I guess, follow it home with a McRae or someone nice and safe to kind of get the victory. But there seems to be a bunch of pretty good options now. This time of year, we all have the big guns in our team, like the Steels and the McRae's and the Olivers. They all seem to be pretty reliable. And so there's probably less of a need to go super unique. Today I heard Riley O'Brien's going to be missing for the Crows. They're coming up against Melbourne this week. Gawn hasn't really been a great captaincy option, but I'm not sure who he's actually going to be up against. Maybe a chance that they give Jackson a greater run in the middle, but it could also be that game that Gawn goes bananas and wins you a league matchup. So just one to keep in mind as you're assessing the various options this week of the captains.
Yeah, I like the good strategy there. I learned a few things as a non-league player, so that was nice. Another one that I heard previously is if somebody's monitoring your team, trying to figure out what you're doing with this sort of stuff, you be a bit sneaky and you put your VC and C as the last players, or just put them as rookie. Just put them as nuffs, people you aren't actually going to go with, and then you swap them in late because with the live game day, your opponents can obviously track you. So that's another one.
You do the late switch with a minute to go, and then you do the switch back.
You do that So just a minute.
And then that, you see them switch, and then you switch back, and just like 1 second.
Just the mental warfare. All right. In terms of actual players, who are you looking at this week, Josh?
Guys with super high ceilings, Zeret that you spoke about earlier potentially stands out against Gold Coast. And a guy that I've got, Tuke, countering that in the same game. I think both of those guys could go 150-plus potentially. There's going to be some high scores in that Hawthorn Bulldogs game. If that game doesn't clash with the Melbourne game in the time point of view, then I'd be pretty keen to use one of the players, so either Titch there or McRae, or all the guys from the Suns Bombers match up as my VC into probably Oliver as late as possible in the round. What about you guys?
I think Tuke and Jack Steele have just about been the most consistent. If you have the combo of those two, you almost just VCC the combination of them at this stage, such as their form. I think the guy easily is number one is Jack Steele, though. When I look back at his scores, seven of his last 10 are 140-plus.
Wow.
Like, what?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Insane. And probably a reason why I haven't caught up to that top 1,000 as a non-owner. So, yeah, if you've got him, absolutely go there. And that's a good point that you're all making around the fixtures and just keeping your eye out there. But a few good games for potential captaincy options. Petrarca against Adelaide may be decent as well. And like you said, the Hawthorn Bulldogs one, there's definitely McRae and Bont types from there as well. It's good opposition.
What if you need a ceiling play, guys? So what if you need someone to – say you're projected to lose your matchup by 100 this week and you're looking for someone who's got a really high ceiling. Is there anyone like of danger? Like danger is a guy you might lean – well, I think he's back, isn't he? You might lean away from potentially, but maybe you might lean into him as a VC this week where someone like Steele, let's be honest, probably going to get 150, but it might not be enough to win you your league. So I don't know. It's just an interesting question.
In the past where we had Buddy Franklin and the key position forwards be a little bit more reliable for big scores, we used to like going there. But I think these days it's more around picking the premiums who have a little bit more variance to their upside but still have a decent floor. So Christian Petrarca is that sort of type, I think. Marcus Bontempelli, you know, their poor games are 100, but their big games are more likely to be 170 than the players who more stick to that 130 to 140, 150 bracket, like Jack McRae, even when he has his bigger scores. I think even Rory Laird is a bit of an example of that. When he goes big, he has hit 160s a bit more often than you would expect for a guy with his average.
Yeah, I think Bont's potentially won the next couple of games. The Dogs will want to win, and usually steps up in big games. They've just had a loss on the weekend, didn't they? So it could be one of those Bont moments to step up and carry the team on his back and put up a big score. So if you're looking for something with a high ceiling, a player that steps up in games that need to be won, Bontempelli could be one.
Yep.
All right. So we've chatted for a little bit already, so I might get into the roundup. But before we do go, we've got Josh on, and you're going to want to get a couple of tips for your super PPR side, Bryce.
Pick the brains.
Before we close out, did you have anything that you wanted to check on BBL, mate?
I guess I'm just keen to know, Josh, whether you know what your biggest BBL Supercoach score has been and whether you can remember the game or not.
That's a very good question. There weren't going to be many points from my batting, I can promise you that.
See, I thought you more of an all-rounder, but I did look back and they're putting you in at 8. That's the highest you've ever bat in BBL.
Yeah, that's I'm like,
you
need wise. To
put you up the order. You can smack the ball around. And this particular game, you did actually get a chance with the Willow and you got more runs than balls faced. So
more runs than balls faced. The best game that it has to be Brisbane Heat against the Sydney Sixers at the SCG.
That's the one. Did I get a bat? You did get a bat. There you go. Yeah, 13 off 9. Yeah,
13 off 9. Honestly, yeah, there you go.
That's pretty good. Must have been a boundary in there somewhere. But obviously with the ball. Yeah.
Yeah, 5 for 28, I think. Is that the.
Yeah, 5 for 26 off 4, and 26. Also chipped in with a catch. So a nice little 20 pointer.
That was a toughie, actually, off Moses and Reeks down in front of the members stand. Yeah, now I remember the one.
Memorable game. So 183 Supercoach points. So that's pretty massive. BBL terms, because 100 mark in AFL Supercoach is probably about the 70. So that's pretty much a double ton if you're thinking about it in AFL terms. So, yeah, massive game.
Corbin Brayshaw, there you go.
there you go. That's one for the record books. But so I guess you're down at the Gades now and settling in. What do you see down at the Gades and some young fellas maybe coming through, some rookies to look out for? We saw Zach Evans come onto the scene late last year, and it was kind of the wrong time for a cash cow, but he was still pretty handy for a few points for some. Yeah. Who's the Zach Evans this year, that youngster that might come through?
Geez, that is a tricky question. I've got some names here. I don't know that I've got any bowlers. Can we talk general strategy?
Yeah, for sure.
BBL Supercoach. Mind you, I don't play, but understanding Supercoach and understanding the cricket side of things, I could probably piece together some decent concepts. So first of all, there's a bunch of players at the Renegades and a bunch of players at the Sydney Thunder who are young, and they're all superstars. They're guns. Mm-hmm. They're really, really good. They're Tri Bolton types. Being a New South Wales man, I know some of those Thunder guys a little bit better, and I've seen their development a lot more closely. Someone like a Matthew Jilks, if he gets a chance to open the batting. Well, first of all, it's a strategy. If you get any young player or cheapie who's batting in the top three for their team, sign them up, because that's like playing in the midfield. They're attending the most centre bounces. So the easiest place to bat in Big Bash cricket is in the top three, particularly opening. If you get someone that gets a decent crack at it for a couple of games and they're okay at cricket, which they should be if they're playing professionally, there's a good chance they'll turn that into points. So Matthew Jilks is one that I had an eye on for the Sydney Thunder. And then they're unlike, it's a little bit similar in the AFL, but the surfaces are very different in cricket, right? Like the actual pitch that you play on is very, very different. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, Marvel Stadium, one of the reasons that I chose to play there, and Sydney Showground, where the Thunder play, the wickets aren't as good for batting, so the scores are lower. The dot balls are higher, your likelihood for batters to take risks increases, so opportunities for wickets. All these things which add up to super coach points. So same deal, if you find someone who's cheap and playing on those grounds and they're going to get a decent run at it, that's the deciding factor. If you pick them over a young guy that's playing at the Gabba or Optus Stadium, where they're some of the best batting wickets in the world. So from a strategy point of view, hopefully there's a little bit of insight there as to where you might point your attention once the season starts.
So we might have to pick you up as a bowler down at Marvel Stadium, given it's a bit of a bowler's wicket, and get you in there for a few wickets.
That's the plan of attack, fingers crossed. See how we go.
So your Supercoach price coming into the next season looks around 97K.
Okay.
So a bit of a bargain. So it could be a bit of a sleeper for starting teams. I'm not sure how the double game weeks line up, but that's the idea, the first few weeks. Get the players that have got a double game week in the first three rounds, load them up in your starting team, and then progress them out of your side and target the next guys that have got double game weeks, because it's going to be a bit of a hectic season with so much cricket crammed into January and December, just the 2 months. So makes it a little bit difficult to keep up with your Supercoach team. Must be hard for you guys to do anything with Supercoach. That's why you're more likely to be playing AFL Supercoach these days. I did actually one other question. You got the Finch man up at up the top of the order. He's got a knee injury at the moment, so I'm not sure it's going to be right for BBL. Any guys that you see up the top, maybe a new signing for the Renegades in the last week might be up the top there? Oh, yeah,
obviously a very good mate of mine, and someone who's probably moving from the middle order to bat up the top, hopefully for us, is a guy, Nick Maddison. he's one of, I think he's one of the top three batters in the country. I rate him extremely highly and really looking forward to playing with him. And he's obviously had a stellar Big Bash career, super coach wise or just outside of fantasy, batting at the top of the order, mostly for the Sixers. So fingers crossed. Whether I imagine Finchie will be right. There's a 2020 World Cup between now and then, but hopefully Matto gets a chance in the top three, and he's definitely going to outperform his price from last year.
Yeah, we might have to have a few guides in our team this year with Finch, Matto, and yourself in a few sides.
Yeah,
and and your bowling lineup, you've got Kane Richo, one of the boys that are playing with the Redbacks over here. So it's good. He's having a pretty good run. He'll be right for BBL this year as well.
Yeah, Richo's an absolute pro. So not the most exciting pick in the world because he's going to give you the value that you pay for him, but he's a bit of a banker. So given the flair that I like to take with my AFL super coach, I'd probably be leaning somewhere else to try and get a bit of value or someone I can I picked him up at the start of the year, you know, for half his value. But,
it was expensive.
Yeah, mate, Richo's he's an absolute star. So if you need someone, one of your bowlers to bank on, he's definitely one of those that, like I said, gets to play at Marvel Stadium, which helps.
Like him down at Marvel. He's got a good beard too, so yeah. that's the only questions I had to put you on the spot with. You've done really well, so thanks for the insights. Any questions from you, Marcus, or are you just soaking it all in?
Well, I mean, it sounds that insight around the grounds was very interesting as a non-player.
It's definitely. And batters, pitchers. You have to take into account weather forecasts, who wins the toss first, and all these kind of factors to really play the game well. And I guess batters have high variance.
Very high variance,
because kind of like a key forward, so you can get zeros sometimes, but then their ceilings are quite high if they get a run on. So you could get a Darcy Short as your captain. Could get out for a duck and not bowl, or he could go on and take three wickets and score nearly 100 and get massive points for you. So it's not one
for
the
faint of heart. It's
very stressful.
Well, awesome. Thanks for being a good sport and getting through those, Josh. And that may be the first segue Supercoach Coach BBL piece for Bryce to pick up on. Just as we're finishing up, I know that you do a couple of things out in the interwebs, or that you do a bit of Twitch stream. Anything you want to plug or anything before you sign off, Josh?
Nothing major. If anyone's interested in some good banter, twitch.tv/MortonSunday. That's SOMEDAY. There's a long story there to how that name came about. But outside of that, guys, just very thankful to be on the show. Like I said, I've listened for probably 5 or 6 years now. Happy Patreon subscriber. If you want me to pay more, just let me know. But love being on the show. The content's super high quality, and sadly I don't pass that on to too many of my competitors, which isn't helping you guys out, but very helpful for keeping me inside the top 5K this year, so thank you.
Awesome. And thanks for coming on, and thanks for the season that you've contributed to as well, Bryce. We've got the grand final show next week. Not too sure. We haven't discussed coordinating that yet, but if we don't get you on, thanks for the season and joining on for the year. It's been fantastic to pick through your spreadsheets, both on Twitter, but also your insights that you bring to the show. Thank you both.
No, thanks. Thanks for having me. And thanks for having me throughout the season. It's been a pleasure. This one's for Josh.
And with that, we'll sign off. See ya.
See you guys. Thank you. Don't want to make it crazy.